Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Yo, yo, what up? It's your girl, Lauren, back with another episode. This week, we're talking about sobriety and being sober curious. I don't know about you, but I feel like every January, I mean, right now we are in, well, in about to start summer, but every January, people have their dry Januaries or they question their relationship with alcohol. Like your girl likes, I like my alcohol. I like wine. I like tequila. I like a good dirty martini. However, I'm realizing now in my late 30s, 37, with three kids, you know, alcohol and kids just don't really mix. Like your girl is really contemplating her relationship with alcohol, basically with every hangover that I ever have. It takes me like two glasses of wine and I'm hungover. And then, you know, the girls don't care. Three-year-olds don't care about no hangover. So I just feel like as I'm getting older, the tolerance for alcohol I have is just less and less and less. And just the bounce back is just less and less and less. So this episode, I'm talking to an amazing artist. Her name is Trish. She is the front woman of this awesome reggae band called Hyrie, who's been on tour with my husband's band many a times. We had this conversation a few months back on a cruise that was like a concert cruise where alcohol was abundant. And Trish has been sober over a year now. So not only is she a bomb mom, like a dope mom who is a career woman, who is a traveling musician, she's sober in doing so. So this is just a great candid episode about her journey into sobriety. If you're someone that's curious about it or question your relationship with alcohol, I know like this mom culture, especially on social media, like there's so many wine memes or there's so many like mommy's on timeout. And I've definitely found those things funny and maybe even shared it. But it is something that I think if you are curious about sobriety, it's hard to be that in some of the mom circles or where and like on the internet where it's glamorized so much. So if you are a fan of Trish or her band Hyrie, listen on. You learn so much about her. If you are just someone that is sober curious or questioning the relationship with alcohol in their mommyhood, this episode is also for you. So I hope y'all enjoy.
Welcome, everyone, to That Twin Mama Podcast. I am super excited for our guest today, Trish, a.k.a. Hyrie, who is a mother, a recording artist, a dope-ass performer. Y'all, we're here on a cruise right now. Some of you all might know that my husband's a reggae band musician and she's on tour with them for the past month. So we are literally rocking on a boat.
We're rocking.
Trish, thank you so much for being here. Tell us a little about you. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you so much for having me,
first off. Well, tell me a little bit about your career. For our listeners that maybe have never, first of all, if you haven't heard her music, go download her some stuff right now. It's amazing. But for someone that hasn't maybe like heard of you before, tell me about your career. Tell me how you got into it.
Sure.
Tell me it all.
Yeah. So, I started Hyrie about 10 years ago, and I grew up in Hawaii, and reggae is a huge part of my childhood. So it's just something that I've always loved. And, you know, 10 years ago, I put a demo together and I went to a producer and we made it into a full length album. And within a month of dropping that album, I was on my first tour with my first international band. That's and amazing. We've been going hard ever since.
Oh, I love that. So it was like 2010s was like when you really started. Was that when Hyrie was created?
2013.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, that's amazing. So you've been doing this now for like what? Almost like 13 years or 10 years at this point. And you're also a mother. So it's funny, I was just talking to Trish about this, but when you Google her, as I'm doing research for all my guests, it has like these pre-populated questions that come up like that most people ask. And one's like, Hyrie's husband, which by the way, this is Hyrie is like the band. Trish is the female artist that has the band, but it's like Hyrie's husband. And then does Hyrie have a kid? And I think that being a mother is just like something that, again, this podcast is a lot about motherhood and like the thing that binds us and just changes your life. How have you been able to juggle being a mom and also being a touring musician? My husband's a touring musician and people just accept that because I'm the mom. I'm always at home. They just expect him to go. It's not anything. But I'm just so curious how you were able to juggle that and have such like a wonderful career as well.
Right. And you're right. It's interesting because yeah. before I started Hyrie, I was a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. And, you know, my daughter was 2 at the time. And this was the moment where I decided, you know, if I don't pursue a career in music, I don't think I'll ever be able to. So when yeah. Beja, my daughter, was 2,
Beja. I love that yeah. name. Sorry.
Yeah. So I started Hyrie when she was 2 years old. So wow. it's been an interesting juggle for sure. And, you know, I'm very blessed that my husband, you know, he was willing to essentially work and tour with me, and yeah. he became my tour manager, my booking agent. He did all the things.
Shout out to Jamie.
Yeah. And so he's still my tour manager yeah. now, and my manager. But, you know, in the beginning, it was definitely difficult, and we had yeah. to leave her at home for, you know, 200 days out of the year for the first couple of years. And then when she was a little bit older, we were able to start bringing her on the road with us.
That's amazing. So did you homeschool her?
I did.
That's so dope.
Yeah.
What was your motivation behind like homeschooling? Was it to be
I don't
her?
Think we really had a choice, honestly. Right. So, you know, from kindergarten until 6th grade, she was homeschooled. Yeah. And then this year is the first year we actually enrolled her into school.
Oh, wow.
So
we
handed the reins off. You know,
right? We're like, this is middle school now. So yeah. Oh my god!
I'm not trying to be a 7th grade teacher, and also I feel like it's a good segue into high school.
100%. That's so cool that you were able to do that. Even like I had Jackson when I was 23. He's now 13. But like back then, I'm not going to age us, but back then there was less resources, I think, for homeschooling and doing things like that. Now people are homeschooling a lot more often. Like I feel like now there's resources to yeah. do it, but. Was that something that you all, how did you, before Instagram and stuff like that, what did you all do? Did you just kind of figure out how to homeschool? Like you look up lesson plans? Like how does that look like?
I think we got really lucky with the school district that we were in San Diego, and they made it really easy. The thing I've noticed, and like you said, a lot of yeah. my friends who have kids and have decided to start transitioning into yeah. homeschooling, is they make it pretty easy for you because they want to see your child succeed
right.
and they're not in a classroom and distracted by a ton of kids. So when it's just you and them, they're learning at a increased
yes.
pace.
Yes.
So even when we think we're not doing our best, you know, it's to us, it seemed that our daughter was still progressing at a faster level right. Than kids that were in school. And, you know, I mean, you spend so much of the day doing other things and just learning.
Right.
But when you're homeschooling, you're like, okay, let's just dedicate 3 hours to school yeah. and you don't need to do, you know, the breaks for lunch,
right.
breaks for recess, all these things. And in those 3 hours, you can accomplish more than a day's worth of work.
That's amazing. That's what I've heard by other moms that have homeschooled. And I'm like, I'm like thinking about it with the girls. My husband doesn't know yet, but I'm thinking about something like that. Cause I also think just giving her the experience, like Beja, to travel with you guys, like there's so much you learn about yeah. life. That's just so dope. And you can't create in a
exactly.
school.
Exactly. And, yeah. and I do, I still support the homeschooling system yeah. so much. And I try to convince my friends about it, yeah. especially when they have new babies, because right. especially from kindergarten until even 3rd, 4th grade, it's pretty easy. Like,
right.
and I was not like the most studious person.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, so my husband and I actually split up the studies. So he did math, science, social studies, and I do, you know, language arts.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause yeah.
That's not an even split.
That might not be an even split. That's because I feel like that's true. I feel like I could do school for like the first few years. I knew my son's homework when he would bring it home when he was younger.
Yeah.
Now he comes home and I'm like, boy, bye. I don't know.
No.
Algebra.
I can't help you.
No, sorry. Like, and then maybe that's a good transition to go into formal school. But I love that so much. I want to talk a little bit more about something. You're a mental health advocate and sobriety. You've been sober now for this whole entire year. I think that a lot of times in like mom culture, like you'll see reels or funny TikToks about like, is it 5 o'clock somewhere? Let's bring out our wine. Like mom's wanting to escape by drinking wine, or like we need a break for our kids. So we work super hard and we have to like drink to just like relax. I also think this industry that you're in, like being an artist, being a musician, it's like glamorized. It's accepted to like drink on the job. So I'm just very inspired by you.
Thank you.
And congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I think I haven't really said this publicly, but I've been sober curious for like a little bit of time. I feel like alcohol and kids don't really mix. Being hung over with a little person fucking sucks.
Mm-mm.
Like it's just not the vibe.
Mm-mm.
And I know a lot of my followers have even asked me about this or talked about, like, how would that look like? I'm a little sober curious too. So that's a long-winded way for me to ask, like, how does your sobriety journey start? What keeps you inspired? Just tell me it all.
Okay. I mean, first off, you're right. I think all the odds are stacked against me, not just as a mother, but as a working mother, as a musician where, you know, the alcohol is free all the time. And then having to meet, you know, thousands of people a year and have to give myself so fully, you know, to essentially to strangers that I love, but to strangers, and then to have something in reserve for when I come home. And so, yeah, there's always this, for me, there is always a void, and that void was always filled with alcohol. And once I took the alcohol away, and I'll tell you, I read a book, and this book, I mean, I'll give you the information, but the book is what made me go sober. But I was sober curious for years. But I was also blacking out almost every day. And my drinking was like 70 drinks a week.
Wow. Yeah.
No problem. Like, people are like, how does that make sense? I was drinking at least 10 shots a day.
Wow.
I mean, and that was my normal.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I feel like I wasted so much time doing it, but, you know, it got me through a lot. And I think that's what a lot of mothers see is like, I need alcohol to get me through.
Yes.
But truly, when you take that away is when you realize you're not actually living fully and you're not feeling fully. And maybe we want to avoid feeling all the things. But I can tell you after, and I've only been sober for 10 months, but in this amount of time and in these 10 months, I've had to feel so much. And maybe at first it felt like you were just surviving like day to day. But like at some point, something switched and I felt like I was the child. Like my childhood came back. Like me wanting to, you know, we have a trampoline at home and I never jump on it. My daughter always wants to jump on it. I would always say later, like, oh, mommy's working, mommy's cooking, mommy's doing something. When I went sober one day, it was just pouring down rain. And my daughter's 12 now, but I went in a room, I was like, do you want to jump on the trampoline with me? And the look on her face was enough to make the 10 months worth it. And we just booked it outside and we jumped in the pouring rain. We're squealing like kids. I mean, and we had a moment, and it, as much as it was for her, it was a lot for me too, because like, when is the last time I played in the rain and was jumping and laughing and feeling like I was 12, you know? And that's what you get back. Like, you get that back when you're sober.
Girl, chills. That's amazing. And I also, I'm just so inspired by you, but like, also, I think you're so right. Like, thinking about what you get back, it's not losing something. I think alcohol is like a lot for some people who have a healthy relationship with alcohol, great. But if you're using it to numb yourself, or if you're using it to hide or like
avoid,
exactly, to fill a void, then maybe being sober curious, maybe just start with a day or a week, then you get to 21 days. And I'm sure that, did you know that you were going to make it to 10 months when you first started? Like, did you?
So I've tried to go sober. The longest I've ever gone was 3 months. And it was always after an incident.
Yes.
Like, you said this, now you're going sober because like, you really messed up. But this time around, it wasn't like a particular incident. I had a feeling I wanted to go sober for the new year. New Year's Eve came, drunk. Day after New Year's, drunk. I started on January 2nd, but I had a book that helped me, and my dad passed it along to me. He's 71. He's like 200 days sober now.
Wow.
So he read the book. He picked it up at like a used bookstore. He passed it on to me. I read it.
What is, do you know the book's title off the top? Or we can put it, we'll put it in
the
notes.
We'll put it in the notes just to confirm it.
Yeah.
But the way that the book is written, it like subliminally teaches you that alcohol is bad, you know,
but
and
like,
again, everyone to each their own. But this book is designed in a way that makes you realize why we're stuck and how even when we think we have a grasp, we're slowly losing our grasp. And after reading that book, I just knew I was done. And I mean, you know, I still, knock on wood, I'm still scared. But like, the whole tour that we've been on now, 4 weeks, this cruise, everything, alcohol never even, like, I don't care about it at all. Like, I don't want to smell it. I could smell it.
Yeah.
I can pour shots for people because that's part of my job description. Yeah. Let me just provide a vibe for people in my green room. It's always around.
Yeah.
But there's no, I have no instinct to pick up a glass and shoot it.
Wow.
And that to me is still a trip. And I know that the book had a lot to do with it, but it does get easier. And now that I'm in my 10-month mark, I'm like, okay, let's just get to a year.
Yeah.
Then we'll get to 5 years.
Yeah,
and then,
100%.
You know, we'll see how mature you are, you know, later in life. But I'm so stoked that I did it. Like, that's amazing. Can't say enough great things about how I feel. And then I know we spoke about it a little bit, but like the way that my relationship is mended with my band and with my family and my husband, and my daughter, and just we all have those moments where alcohol has taken something away from us, whether it's, you know, our sanity or our self-respect or self-love. And you know, for me, the thing that I've noticed the most is, you know, we talk about traumas, we talk about our own PTSD, our own things like that, but you don't realize how much trauma you can inflict when you have a problem. And I had a problem. I was an alcoholic. So realizing that I had to be on the mend and letting go of the fact that I messed up, and knowing and apologizing to myself and forgiving myself, but then realizing people also need time to forgive you too. And that has nothing to do with what you want. And so when I step back and I really focus on myself and worked on myself is when I noticed all my relationships starting to naturally mend. And I was able to gain a lot of trust back because, you know, for me, alcohol took that trust away from a lot of my relationships. I didn't realize that until I went sober and I had to hold myself accountable. And so, you know, I'd have conversation with someone and they'd be like, well, you know, you did this. And instead of being defensive, learning to say, dang, like, wow, I'm sorry I did that. Like, you're right. That wasn't nice.
That's so powerful, Trish. And I also just think about like recognizing there might be a problem. It's like that first step. I think that also, like, the fact that you made it to 10 months, like, we're on a all-you-can-drink cruise right now. Like, you are, like, I mean, like, if there's temptation, you have it in your aura all the time. So the fact that you're able to be this strong, like, I don't think you realize how inspiring and dope that is. Like, I just really, really commend you for that. But also, I think recognizing you having a problem, like you saying, I was an alcoholic, I knew I had to change things.
Yeah.
And, like, I do think if anyone is struggling or curious about sobriety, maybe just try it. Like, what would you say to someone that's starting out or might have a problem, or what made you change? What, you know, like, tell me that.
I think the thing that I love the most, and my life coach told me this, was, you know, you've already planted the seed. If you're curious, if you start asking questions, if you're even, the seed is already planted, and it's up to you whether or not you want to water it, you want to sow it, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, on this ship, this is my third time on this ship. Yeah. And the first time I was on this ship, I remember like face planting onto the toilet bowl, and I had this huge shiner. The second time I was on the ship, I mean, I was just a mess. And like, I remember it. So like, it's so weird being here and not having that chip on my shoulder of, you're going to wake up hungover, or like, today's going to be a stormy day. You're going to feel crappy. Like, no, I don't have that anymore. Ugh. But once you start thinking it, it's already there.
Right.
You know, and for me, I think the first step was reading the book.
Yeah.
And then I started following a lot of pages on Instagram that were like 1,000 hours sober, like dry. There's all these sober girl society. There's all these pages. I started deleting all like drunk bitch. Like all the pages that like reinforced my like, oh, you messed up. But like, there's 10,000 people who like this post about, it's okay. Like, you blacked out, whatever.
Yeah.
But once I started unfollowing all those pages and I started following the inspiring ones, just surrounding myself with that energy, you know, and at the time I still had wine bottles in my kitchen. Right. I still had shot glasses in my pantry. Slowly was like, I'll just hide them. Like, I'll keep them for somebody. Somebody's going to want a shot at some point at my house. But just starting to hide those things and get them out of sight and then out of mind.
Yeah. You're really like creating your world, because your world becomes like what you look at, what you are inspired by, what the people around you. The relationships change for you. Like you said, some were really
absolutely great. Absolutely. I mean, I'm married, you know, for 15 years and we don't bicker like we used to. I mean, sometimes it's just lack of sleep, a lot of alcohol, you're hungover the next day, and you pick on each other. And it's like, what was the point? This entire day we spent mad. Both of us just want to cuddle and like, we're both hurting, like we're both hungover, whatever.
Yeah.
But the amount of bickering is, it's almost gone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be a little bit of here, a little bit there.
Yeah.
But the amount of mutual respect.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's something I struggled with. You know, I don't know if I had the perfect picture painted in my childhood of like what a healthy relationship is.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I can develop that. And it's not too late, even if I've been drinking for the first 15 years.
Right. And what a great model for Beja, right? Like, I feel like you're in your era. Like, I know Taylor Swift just went on some tour and there's different eras. Like, I just feel like you're in a really powerful, great model for your daughter. And like, just what is possible. It gives me chills. It's yeah, so
and,
dope.
And I hope so. Like, yeah. There's always a little tinge of like pessimism for me because she's 12. Like they say, you know, the first, right. what, 6 years
yeah, seven
are like
years.
The most important for a child. But so I'm like, like no. in a way, she saw a lot. She yeah. saw a lot. And I hold myself accountable now. I'm like, yeah. yes, there were a lot of incidents where mommy's blacked out. She's yeah. not going to make her breakfast. Like, again, I remember talking to my life coach and she came and visited me and my daughter was making lunch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so proud. I was like, look, my daughter knows how to make carbonara. How many kids do you know yeah, that know how to make right. carbonara from scratch? I mean, she's like mashing That's garlic dope. And wow. frying it. And she looked at me later and said, you know, that is nice that she does that. But do you think she had to learn to cook for herself?
Damn.
And she was right. I mean, there were many mornings right. where she had to make her breakfast. She had to make the toast. You know, mommy's not getting out of bed. She probably made me toast.
Yeah.
So those were the things that were adding up. And I just said, enough. Right. I'm done. And
right.
she's 12. Who knows what she's going to want to do when she's 16, 17. Yeah. Like I was like, and I'm not going to press my
yeah.
holier than right. thou only 10 months yeah, in. Like,
right.
But, you know, I hope that she is at an age where she saw me struggle. Now she sees me struggling to get out. And then one day when I'm just fully in the clear, that she'll have seen that transition. Yes. Mommy went from like a fucked up caterpillar yeah. to a butterfly. And, you know,
and that's powerful as hell. Yeah. Like to see that and to see you being accountable and just seeing that, like, yes, you mess up, but look, like you can always come back.
Exactly.
Like I freaking love it. So what's next for Trish? Like, do you think you want more kids, girl? Like, I feel like you're...
Do we?
Her husband's in the background.
Know.
She's giving
you know
him
what?
The eyes.
I love other people's yeah. kids. And yeah, we had our kids yeah. young. So, you know, yeah. she's 12. I mean, I could be a grandma, you know, at some point. I think I'll be 39 when she's 18.
Oh, wow.
So.
Well, how old were you when you had her?
20.
20? Okay. Because I was 21. Okay. Because I was 23. And like even having kids, like... No one had kids my
exactly.
age, right? And like we were like literally like 23, 20. That's when you go party,
yeah.
going bar hop, like the club. Like, and we had a baby. I remember, I mean, he was the best surprise ever, but we had him on birth control.
Yeah.
And like my life just flipped. We had like a one bedroom apartment. He was like sleeping in our bed. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Exactly.
Like, you know?
And you struggled with them. I mean,
yes.
they were kind of like your sibling
right.
more than
You're
your
like
child. I always tell Misha, like, thank you for raising me.
Yeah.
And again, like, that might sound funny, but like, whoops.
But
you
yeah,
know,
still.
It is what it is.
It
and
is
that was
is.
That was what we went through.
Right.
Lots of great moments along the way. I mean,
yeah.
she's traveled the world and everything. But, you know, I don't know.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, if you do, I want to come babysit and I'll hold them side stage and do whatever. I remember, like, Trish was like on the side of the stage with someone's baby.
Holding
who's
Brandon's
yeah, it was okay.
Baby.
I was like, girl, you look, that look good on you.
Oh,
it kind of look cute.
Babies.
I know, I love babies.
It could be anybody's.
I know.
Baby.
It's so funny because I have baby fever sometimes when I see babies. And then, like, my husband's like, no, Lauren, do you remember what we just went through? We have three.
Last
yeah,
night?
Like, literally, no. I'm like, okay, fine. But yeah, like, so if, for listeners that are just tuning in, where can they find you, follow you, listen to your music? Tell us where we can find
sure.
stuff about Hyrie.
Hyrie Music is my Instagram handle. Yeah. I do all my social media. So if you
Girl.
DM me, if you want any information,
yes,
you can hit me up on there. And then, you know, Hyrie on Spotify, YouTube, things like that.
Of course. Well, I thank you so much for your transparency. This has been amazing, for your honesty, just for being so real. You're just such a great human. I'm just happy to know you. And I want that freaking book. Like,
yes.
I'm a little curious. I'm not going to lie. I think I was hungover on this trip at some
right,
point. And I was
course.
Like, this sucks.
It's natural. And
yeah.
and I just want to say for anybody listening,
yeah.
you know, if you're in a place where you're kind of kicking yourself like I was, just forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Because yesterday was yesterday. Today is today. And you always have a chance. And even if you feel like you're stuck,
yeah.
just... I think just learning how to see yourself as your inner child. I mean,
yes.
that inner child work is so important. But, you know, I think it takes a lot of, because I gave my blacked out a name. I
yeah.
gave my, so she was Patricia.
Oh.
You know, and that's actually my real name is Patricia. But, you know, it was always, that
yeah.
wasn't me.
That was
Patricia. Or like my band
right.
members called her Patricia. Ooh, Patricia's out
spicy.
Today.
Oh.
And what I came full circle to realize
yeah.
is, but Patricia is like actually the child in me.
Hurting.
And she's the one that is so hurt, that she's the one that wants to binge drink. She's the one that has all these unresolved issues from childhood that I've never confronted. And I've chosen to fill the void night after night after night when I finally took the alcohol away, I had to meet her again. Yeah. I had to talk to her. I had to apologize to her, and I had to love on her the way. And it sounds so third person, whatever, no. But like literally, as somebody who struggles with self love and self sabotage all the time, eliminating that made me realize like I've been avoiding just coming to grips with what I've been through in my experience, and it's like I'm relearning how to be me.
Yeah.
At 33.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you start drinking at 13, 14.
Right. I did in like eighth grade.
You're this other person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, I love that you said that because I think it's called, I've been doing a little bit of work with a coach and it's called parts work, where we have different parts of ourselves, and like knowing she's in there and like she's hurting and acknowledging her, not like silencing her, like not trying to like feed her something else, like just go away. We don't, this doesn't serve me, but like being, hey, what do you need?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and that kid's like, if you really think about your little child, like, it's just like, if they were standing right here, and like me, I had like my big braids and things, like, I just like, what do you need, sis? Like, do you need a hug? Do you need just, that's the deep work that comes that I'm so glad that you found. And I think part of that deep work was you getting rid of a poison that wasn't serving you or her. Trish, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
This has been another episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. Peace.
And that is it for today's episode of That's My Mama Podcast. But before we bounce, I'm going to leave y'all with two requests. The first is, if you are enjoying this podcast, please follow along and leave us a 5-star review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whichever your preferred platform is. These ratings do a lot for our engagement, but also gives us the inspiration, the push to keep on showing up for you all week after week with some great content that we are sure you're going to enjoy. And secondly, follow us on our socials. You can find me at That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram and at That Twin Mama on YouTube. On Instagram, you'll see a lot of short form versions of these videos, but a lot of content that relates to the subject matter week after week that I am sure you're going to love. So until then, again, thank you for showing up. Thank you for all your support. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Peace, y'all.